When it comes to booking in time with your prospects, we want to reduce no-shows and cancellations. We want to make sure that the right prospect is speaking to the right AE at the right territory and right time zone. Also, we want to reduce those no-shows and cancellations. That's exactly what Chili Piper's booking platform can help you do. Chili Piper are the official sponsors of the SDR Disco Call show, and if you want to check out more, head over to chilipiper.com/happy. Welcome to the SDR Disco Call vidcast and podcast, a show designed for brand new sales reps working in the world of tech sales. I'm your host, Neil Buyan, and I'm going to be taking you on a journey on the SDR Disco Call vidcast and podcast. Did you know that you can watch this show live with the guests on YouTube? This show is available on YouTube at happyselling.io. Hi there, listeners. It's Neil here, and today we have a special episode. Hello, listeners, watchers, subscribers, and podders. Welcome to another chapter of the SDR Disco Call show. As always, I'm your host, Neil Buyan, and today I'm super, super excited about the show that we're bringing you with our guests. So for a bit of context, I've known all these guests, or these three great salespeople, over the last few years in different capacities, and it's really weird how things all come together. And I was in Belgium a few weeks ago where I met with all of these guys, and I said, hey, why don't we get you on the show? And today, as a first on the SDR Disco Call show, we have a CEO, an SDR, and an AE. You can't get any better than that. But as a gentle reminder, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please give us a rating and share this episode. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, please like, comment, subscribe, and share. But without further ado, I'd love to introduce the company that is Ambassify and Bobby, Yannick, and Cohn. How are you all doing today, gentlemen?
Fantastic. Right. Awesome. Yes.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate you all. So yeah, this is a bit of a first. Normally, like, we just have things just with SDRs or, you know, team leads, but having a CEO on the call is pretty scary and daunting. And I think this should be quite a good episode. So again, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. So in true SDR Disco Call fashion, I'd love to start with our super guest, our SDR, Bobby. Bobby, could you please introduce us to who are you, where are you based in the world, and what do you do for Ambassify?
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for having us, Neil. I'm Bobby. I'm an SDR here at Ambassify. Started my training around April. And yeah, so I've been basically in the role for about 4 months. I'm based in London. And yeah, let's go to Yannick.
Thank you very much. So fresh blood, Bobby, in a couple of months in. Thank you so much for joining. Yannick, so who are you? Could you introduce yourself? Where are you based in the world? And what do you do at Ambassify?
Well, so indeed, my name is Yannick. Thanks for having us. Also from my side, of course, very, very happy to be here. Where am I based in the world? I'm based in Belgium, in the beautiful city of Ghent. For your listeners who haven't visited Ghent, do visit Ghent. It's wonderful. We just had what we call the Ghentse Feesten, which is actually 10 days of partying. So for those party animals, which is also necessary in the sales life, I would definitely recommend to give us a visit definitely next year around this time. I was an SDR before, just like Bobby. First, I was kind of an SDR in the recruitment sector. I did a lot of cold calling, you know, introducing candidates to potential clients, also a lot of business development. Then I moved to a full sales role as a full SDR, which was at Silverfin. And there I did basically what Bobby is doing today, booking meetings, making sure those are quality meetings. And then I rolled into the AE role. As you heard, I'm an AE by now. And of course, now an AE at Ambassify. To keep it short and sweet, that's a little bit the story.
Thank you very much, Yannick. And a little bit of disclosure, me and Yannick actually met a few years ago when he was at Silverfin, where I was his SDR trainer, and he was one of my students. And I'm very proud to see how far you've progressed. And obviously now you're working at Ambassify alongside Cohn, which brings us on to our super CEO, or word of mouth ambassador for Ambassify, Cohn. Cohn, could you please introduce yourself and tell us who are you, where are you based in the world, and what is your role as a CEO at Ambassify?
Sure. So I'm the first CEO on the show, right? or not?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight. So I also love that you didn't just call me the CEO of the company, but also the word of mouth director. That's something that I like to use myself, because that's basically what we do at Ambassify. You know, we love to help other companies to generate word of mouth, and our platform helps them to enable that. So I am in beautiful Diest. If we're working from home, we do have offices in the Ghent area, where Yannick is mostly doing his hustle work, or the Limburg area, this small rural site of Belgium with a lot of talent represented there as well. But a lot of the work is still remote these days. And Ambassify basically is the most complete, I believe, advocacy platform out there today, helping companies to use their marketing budgets in a smarter, cost-efficient way through their best brand ambassadors. And obviously, those are their employees. That's where we are.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much, Cohen. So yes, first ever CEO, first SDR and AE all in one show. And again, really very privileged to have you guys all on and giving us a time today for our listeners and watchers out there as well. So Cohen, like with the magic of our show, what we typically do is like screen sharing, and we can have a look at the Ambassify website. And again, for our listeners and watchers, for any of the things that we discuss in the show, if you want to visit the links in the show note descriptions, you can check out Ambassify and you can check out Yannick, Bobby and Cohen's LinkedIn if you wish to connect. So obviously, where you're saying like using word of mouth, employee advocacy, like Cohen, if you were to say in a nutshell, and you were speaking to somebody about, you know, potentially helping them with Ambassify, in a sentence, what would you say Ambassify does and how does it help people?
Yeah, like I just shortly explained, you know, we help them to use their marketing budgets in a smarter way. A lot of times it's about advertising spend. So advertising costs are going up, but the results of those efforts are going down. And we can help with that by using employees mostly to generate that word of mouth, to generate that visibility. And we can very easily track that and put that into measurements that are very applicable to our customers.
Love it. Thank you very much. And just like a true CEO, I love that.
Or SDR, right, Bobby?
Yeah, indeed. It's the command of the message. But obviously, like before we came onto the show, so we're all going to be learning about everybody's individual journey, and kind of like how did they get to Ambassify. But as somebody who's a company founder for a very young company of my own, I'd love to know, kind of like, what was the story of Ambassify? Like, how did it start off from like your journey of this idea to kind of like, where are you today? Like, what was that journey like, sir?
Yeah, it actually started out of a previous SaaS company, still mostly the same people, which is extremely cool. We have a lot of talented people that join us in our different missions. So the previous company, it's still the same entity, to be honest, was called BuboBox. And that platform basically allowed companies to identify their brand ambassadors, mostly external people, though. Today, we focus on internal people. But the thing we noticed is that we promised them that we would find their best brand ambassadors. Then we would look at it from a distance. Then we could see, for example, we were working for TUI one day. The other day, we were working for Connections, another travel company. We would see the same names popping up. I didn't feel comfortable at all because I promised, hey, you will find your best brand ambassadors. But they basically were what I called prize hunters, you know. Oh, yeah, I can win the school prize with TUI. I will do this today. I can win the school prize with Connections. I will do that tomorrow. So that's basically, we didn't kill the idea completely. We sold a part of the business. And then most of the people in the organization, we put on a different mission because we found out that the genuine, true brand ambassadors were actually already inside of the company, being their employees. And then we made a switch to Ambassify. And the cool thing is that we could use a lot of the groundwork that we had done with BuboBox to really kickstart Ambassify and get customers quite quickly.
I love that. That's a pretty cool story. And, you know, similar to myself, I've only been in business with Happy Selling for about 5 years. And I started it because I had my son. And I saw the way that I was getting taxed, and my father is an accountant. And I remember the more I was earning as a salesperson, the more I was getting taxed, and it felt like I was earning less. And I went to my father as an accountant, I complained about it, and he said, well, that's the world. He said, unless you're running your own company, you can't really do anything about it. And I was like, okay. And I had to figure out what could I do. So I love sales, and I could do that thing, and then I launched my business. And running a company on my own for the last couple of years, it's scary as hell. And as I was saying to the gentleman before we got on, I've just hired my first head of marketing. So it's my first real hire. And that's scary as hell. But, you know, for somebody that's like launched a business and been doing this for a number of years, what was going through your mind of when you were thinking, I'm going to launch a company or I'm going to launch something to help the world? Like, how did you come to that confidence in order to make that jump?
Yeah, so first things first, my father was an accountant as well. So that that might be like the magic trick in this conversation. Yeah. So yeah, it helps a lot because I had financial discussions on a very young age, basically. Mm-hmm. And it also pushed me in direction of launching my company. So I finished three studies, but then I immediately founded my own company, one while I was still finishing up the other final study that I did. And it was like a consultancy business, basically selling portals to large companies, etc. And I did grew that company quite a bit, but it didn't feel 100% right because it was just not scalable, you know? It was like, okay, and I loved side projects already back then. We used to build this, what we know today, like Takeaway, you know, we built stuff like that on a side project kind of thing. But then when there was a lot of work in the business, we didn't focus on the side projects. When there was no work, we focused too much on the side projects. So I don't believe in that scenario anymore. So then I sold that business, and that was the reason for me to start Bureaubox, basically being a B2B SaaS company, because I was totally into SaaS by reading about all the stories, etc., and just by the uniqueness of the business model, basically. And that really triggered me to start it, to find the right co-founders who also did a lot of work without any wages for the first 18 months. So we went full in for it. And that's my main advice, you know. You cannot do it half and half. And you will have those stories, but those are extremely exceptional. You have to give it your all, and you have to feel it when it doesn't work out. But it does work out, you feel it, and you can hire more people, and then the engine starts running. So that's basically where I come from.
I love that. And that's some solid advice as well. You know, you can't do this half-hearted. You have to go all in for this. And one last question before we come back to our other guests as well. I was out yesterday with a bunch of friends, and I just dropped my son off back to his mother's. And we're sitting down, and through Facebook and personal social media, they kind of know what I do, that I run some sort of business. And the one thing that this one lady said to me yesterday is like, Neil, you're always busy. You're always doing something. Like, you're just always on social media and you're like, you're doing great things and it's successful. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I used to agree with friends and say, yeah, I'm busy. I'm freaking busy, man. I'm doing stuff. I'm traveling. I'm doing all that. But I've now come to this conclusion that I'm not busy. I'm just doing things that I love or things that I'm very passionate about. And it may be busy for some, but I can't live any other way. And, you know, like after I left that evening with friends, I went home to work on my podcast, to work on some happy selling stuff, to do some social media. And sometimes I work till 11 o'clock at night. And some people call that crazy. And I was just wondering, does that resonate, or how does that resonate with you, Cone? And what advice would you give to people that maybe it's too busy or it's intimidating for them?
Yeah, solid question. So in the beginning, you cannot fake it, you know, so you do need to put in the hours, and those are crazy hours because you're building something completely new on a market that has not been tested before, with a product that has no fit at all with that market. So in the beginning, you cannot say like, okay, I'm just putting in my hours and we'll see how this ends. But when the business scales, then you also need to trust other people in the organization, you know, and it's daunting at times, because sometimes you see stuff that you think, yeah, I might have done that better. That's the biggest battle for me sometimes, like letting it loose. But only then you can scale, you know. So I actually took a holiday only a few weeks ago, and I was surprisingly relaxed during that holiday. I didn't even bring my laptop. Wow. That's like a key thing here. So that's the first time ever, because of the trust in the team. And I couldn't have done that a few years ago. So it's a progress. I don't believe that you shoot Elon Musk style, keep on working 160 mostly unproductive hours, unless you're Elon Musk, obviously, who can put in the productive work. So it will change over time. But in the beginning, the phase where you probably are, if you want to build out the business, especially if it's more consultancy based, it's a lot of hurdles that you should overcome. but there is light at the end of that tunnel, and you know where you're doing it for. You know you're building business value next to making customers happy, and that helps you to basically just push along.
Thank you. You've eased my mind, and you've lessened some anxieties, Cohen. So thank you so much. And I definitely, welcome. You know, I aspire to do something like what you're doing. And again, having an amazing team on this call as well, and building these people into your point, trusting in them, because I think the job of a great CEO is to know how to do things to a certain extent, but then hire people that are better than them to execute those things. Mm-hmm. But when it's your baby and it's your brand or it's your thing that you've created, it can be very emotionally hard at the same time, right? So you take an interest in it.
Yeah, I also compare it in the beginning. You know, you're wearing all these kinds of hats, like the classic of cleaning the toilets. I did it, all the classics, I did them. But after a while, you start looking for people where the hat might even fit better on their head, you know? And that's the cool thing. When you see the business grow, or when you go away for 1 week, and it's not that you totally disconnect, mm-hmm. but when you just see that the business keeps on progressing, then you know, like, okay, I've built something that can probably scale without me eventually. And that's a very mm-hmm. empowering feeling, to be honest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell to this. Thanks to these guys as well, by the way.
Whoop, whoop. I love it. Whoop, whoop. So coming into, like, for somebody that's built the business and somebody that's recently just come into the business in the last few months, like yourself, Bobby, like, if we check out your LinkedIn profile, it'd be cool to know for, like, the listeners and watchers, like, you've had, you know, you've been a physiotherapist, you've been a chess coach, which is actually very strategic and actually quite interesting now that I think about it. But you've worked in sales and marketing, you know, you've been self-employed, and you've been an SDR ambassador for the last 5 months. What's your story of, like, how did you get into, well, firstly, sales and tech, and how did you make that transition, and how did you end up at ambassador?
Well, to be fair, you know, there's a lot of experience listed on LinkedIn, but it probably doesn't cover even 30% of all the jobs I've done. So I've done, like, every job under the sun, to be fair. So, yeah, I've worked anywhere from McDonald's to the hospital and schools, and most recently tech, of course. To be honest, I did have a little bit of sales experience coming into Ambassify, because I kind of... Well, I worked part-time for Vodafone for about 4 years while I was studying to support my studies. Mm. So that was kind of, it was a cool job because, you know, I was always interested in phones and tech, and I grew up with a computer from a very young age when I was 6. Still in the kindergarten in Bulgaria, you know, my father bought us a computer and that was pretty big back in the day. You know, I don't think many kids had a computer and the internet wasn't back. It wasn't big like it is now. It makes me feel quite old. But I think that was about 19 years ago. So, going into Vodafone, that's how I kind of, you know, kickstarted my career in tech. And afterwards, finding Ambassador was, you know, I applied for a ton of jobs on LinkedIn. And my cousin, who was actually in recruitment at the time, I was looking to go on into recruitment as well because, you know, I knew she did that, and it was, you know, she was doing quite well. It was a good industry to get into. And she said, well, actually an SDR is way better because you only have to deal with one side of the equation, you know. You just have to sell the product. Mm-hmm. And if the customer is happy, then you have a sell. Whereas with recruitment, you can, you know, put in quite a lot of work, and sometimes the candidate finds a different job offer, or, you know, they're in a different place of life now than they were 3 months ago. And that's how I kind of got into sales, and I got trained up by this cool academy, which obviously Kuhn found, you know, SaaS leads, and I found as well on LinkedIn as, you know, as one of the jobs which I applied for. And I thought it was a scam, like most people at the beginning. Then, you know, after the interview and getting to meet a few of the people, checking out their website, I got, you know, I believed it was real then. And I was pretty excited, to be honest. It was nothing like I was ever used to doing before. Never worked from home before. Never worked in SaaS. So it was all brand new. To be honest, the first few days or few weeks of the academy, I was like, I probably won't be able to do this. I'll probably fail, but let's just push on one more day. I'll just try one more day and give it, you know, as much as I can. If I fail, then still going to learn a lot. But to be fair, after my first day, I just realized I'm surrounded by so many cool people, and it's a totally different environment now than what I'm used to from before. And, you know, I could actually make it, you know, I could actually, you know, go through the academy and get hired and work from home like I've always wanted to. So, yeah, I kind of surprised myself, I think, as well.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. So, you know, having that sales experience whilst you were at Vodafone for those 4 years, you've built up some commercial experience of, you know, dealing with people, customers, prospects, etc. And then making that transition into thinking about, like, similar to Yannick, about wanting to go into recruitment and thinking, right, but then your recruiter friend said, actually, you could go into this thing called an SDR position, and, you know, you're selling to potentially one persona or, you know, an industry or a vertical, and then trying to convince them. And then joining this potential, what you may have thought as a scam, called SaaS Leads. And then, you know, the early days of doubting it, okay, is this for me? I don't know, because this is something completely new, right? But then sticking at it and being, like, successful with it. And hey ho, like, you're ambassador for the last 5 months. Like, I say hell yeah to that. That's some happy selling, right? Mm-hmm. And what's really weird is, like, listening to you talk and, like, going through your journey, it also has reminded me of how small this world is, because that SaaS Leads company, who are friends of the show, and we've had Will Koning on the show as well, he was my first ever student 5 years ago when I was working with Winning by Design. And I remember I stayed friends with Will a year later. He wasn't working at the company anymore that he was, you know, I was training at. And he says, yeah, I'm doing something called SaaS Leads. And I was like, what's that? He said, oh, SDR training. And I'm like, isn't that what I do? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, maybe competition, perhaps, I don't know. But he was like looking at the recruitment element of this as well, you know, like hiring the talent, then training the talent up. And obviously with me, I just, you know, train the talent that's already been hired. Mm-hmm. And then thinking back to, like, with Cone, when we first met, like, in the early days, we were looking at happy selling as a potential training, but you weren't sure when you was going to get your SDRs in.
Yeah.
But we stayed in connection. We've had discussions over the years. You've picked my brain on things equally. I've picked your brain. And then Yannick, like, you were a student of the past and you went in one company, ended up here. It's the world is interconnected,
amazing,
and
right?
It's a hell of a lot smaller. And we've all had interactions. And, like, when you were hired, Bobby, I was so freaking proud, A, of Cone for getting that SDR in, and B, you coming from SaaS Leads, you know, a good breed of people that have been trained going into a great company.
Yeah.
And then you had Yannick as your co-pilot. I was like, yeah, this is a match made in heaven, dude. Like, this is so freaking amazing. I was like, I'm very proud of all of you guys, and, like, to see you all together, and equally more excited because you're on this show and we get to hear all your thoughts on this.
That's awesome.
I don't even know if Bobby knows this, but the initial introduction to SaaS Leads was through Neil. So Neil basically mentioned yes. So and it didn't feel like a fraud to me at the time. Otherwise, Neil would have never recommended it.
Yeah.
But it was like a jump in the dark as well. So the main thing is, we had some issues with our limited team to really train SDRs in the best possible way. And we wanted to change that. And then SaaS Leads, Neil, your recommendation, and a few other Belgian companies that were using them came in perfect. So thank you for that. I think, Bobby, it is a great program. I'm very happy that you went through it. You were mostly happy, I think, as well, as one of the high performers there. Let's not forget that as well.
Yeah.
But it's not an easy task. It's quite intensive, I think, right?
Yeah, training somebody who has no former SDR experience is not that easy if you are in a company, in a startup, like we are at Ambassify. We're still a startup. We are a modest team. We're growing heavily, of course. But if you don't have somebody dedicated in-house who will be taking on the responsibility to train somebody as an SDR with no SDR experience, it's quite hard. Because a lot of people try to give their input. It gets quite confusing at times. Let's be honest about that. It's also mistakes that are being made sometimes when hiring an SDR. And I feel, Koen, that we had the same issue a little bit, you know, not having the capacity train somebody fully as it should be, and also giving input from different sides that didn't work well in the past. And I think that indeed the academy did a great job in laying the foundations to build further on. So good way to go.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And I know with Will, who's probably going to be listening to the show, he's going to be very happy to hear that. So again, thank you, gentlemen, for giving the great feedback on there. Which then brings me on to, I'd love to come back to Cone. So obviously, like you said, you're looking for this talent, you're hiring it, trying to find the right people, and then you come across the right people. But Cohn, as a CEO who may be doing founder-led sales initially in the early days, how do you come to the decision of hiring that first salesperson on the ground? And like, what things should founders or companies think about before they hire their first AE or SDR? What did you guys do?
Yeah, there's a lot of double communication around this topic, mm-hmm. right? So some people will say try to hire two AEs as soon as possible, see who works out, why he or she works mm-hmm. out, and then move forward with that. I didn't believe that, still don't believe that. I think you have to do the hustling yourself in the early days. And if you work with salesy people, they should be evangelists more than salespeople. So we had one or two of those people joining me in the sales process. And at the time, it worked out fine because our product was still trying to find product market fit, etc. Mm. And it's very hard to ramp up normal AE people when the product fit is not even there. You know, they will get frustrated, etc. So when we really found, like, and let's say 12 to 18 months ago, like, okay, this is going into the right direction. We're signing more and more big logos all by ourselves. And basically, we cannot handle the leads anymore, or we can't give enough love to some of those larger leads enough. That was like the key decision driver in looking for the right AEs to be able to scale the business further. And at that specific point in time, we hired, I think, three reps quite shortly after each other with a few months in between, which is quite a challenge because you basically grow from like a 2-person sales team to a 6-7 person sales team. But very interesting times, and we're still finding the best balance, to be honest, between not only the three of us but also with the other people. But it's a step you just need to take, otherwise you will continue to be a founder-led sales person for the rest of your life. The thing is, I love doing sales myself as well, and I also try to, you know, lead by example in a way that we're now doing those dojo sessions, etc. And what's the best way to approach our prospects, because I'm obviously quite a long time in the business already. I'm still doing the hard work myself as well, you know, like setting up meetings, etc. It's not like it's 50% of my week, but I just do it to just get the input directly as well, because you need that to be able to guide the AEs, who need that to be able to guide the SDRs, and that's how it comes together.
Right? I love that. And there was two things that I wanted to pick apart there. So the first thing is, you mentioned a terminology that I haven't heard before. We say like in the dojo, or like dojo sales. Could you explain like what that is, and how do you guys use that?
Yeah, it's basically a very new concept. So we work with an external sales leader as well, who has a background at Indeed.com. And he just ended his gig there. So we had this unique opportunity to work with him. He has a lot of VP sales experience. And I think it's one of the first things he introduced, right? Like basically weekly sessions in a dojo where you will train each other, a bit like probably happened in the SaaS Leads Academy as well. So really looking at each other, like how would you pitch this prospect, or role-playing, shadowing, all these kind of things, but more in a structured way. And my feeling is that the reps are getting a lot out of that, because then you can see that some people are approaching it a completely different way, and that that obviously has to fit your DNA as well. It's not that you can just copy-paste the other AE or the other SDR. But it's very valuable. So just those 1-hour blocks each week to see how other people are doing it, I think is extremely valuable. Yeah,
I absolutely love that. So it's, if I get it right, it's an element of reflecting internally on the things that you're doing out in the field with your customers, how perhaps maybe you have an objection, maybe having a role play, and then being able to see how other people are doing it, rather than say, okay, here's a script, this is what you need to say. You're actually taking input from how other people are doing, and you're learning from each other. Is that
exactly
right?
Exactly. And you might get roasted on the spot, you know, but everyone is in the same boat there. And that's why it works, I think.
It's good to be pulled out of your comfort zone from time to time, I feel, because this is sales. The approach in different stages of the sales cycle is constantly changing, constantly evolving. So you need to keep up with it. And one of the best ways is not only reading about it or watching clips about it or listening to podcasts about it, like yours, Neil.
That's a good way. It's a good way.
Which is a great way, of course. But also listening to each other, getting into a role play with each other, I believe that there's a tremendous amount of information to be shared amongst the different reps, SDRs, AEs, even, you know, management, to make sure that you keep on top of your game. And just like Koen said, getting roasted from time to time, I feel, is part of the game and also necessary to keep you on your toes. So yeah, definitely agree.
Oh yeah, and again, if anybody's listening into this, like Koen, like you're saying, and Yannick and team, setting in an hour a week to do that dojo with each other, I think that's super valuable. And the reason why I really believe in that model is, being like a former SDR manager, the people that I trusted their feedback the most was my new hires. And the reason for that was the new hires would come into this as a blank slate and look at our processes, the way that we go to market, the way that we cold call. And I would always ask them, like, what do you think? And they would be the people that wouldn't have the rose-tinted glasses of, hey, this is my company, my job, and I'm really proud of the brand. They'd give honest feedback about saying, I don't think that's going to work, or maybe you could do that in a different way. And I'd always welcome that feedback, especially like onboarding. You know, I'd like have a 4 to 5 week onboarding with my reps. And at the end of it, I would genuinely ask them, could you please give me feedback of what do you think worked well in this onboarding and what didn't? And they said, well, do you know what? At the beginning, it was great to know the company. It was really cool to learn about the SDR process and the tools, but maybe you could have had a bit more about competitors and battle info in here. You know, how to set up my HubSpot, how to set up SalesLoft, or, you know, these tools, and maybe have a bit more training on that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Because we do this day in, day out, and we've been doing it for a number of years, but having a fresh set of eyes and ears on an existing process can really bring about change and, you know, iteration. So I freaking love that. That's amazing. But also, Koen, the piece of, you know, doing founder-led sales and then getting these salespeople to do it, and, you know, 50% of your time is still setting up meetings and doing sales cycles, and you fall in love with sales. And I kind of had this realization the other week where I signed my first head of marketing. And I was like, right, I've been doing happy sendings marketing with an assistant for the last year, but I was doing 80% of it. The other person was executing it and helped create some content. And shouts out to Becky if you're watching. But I said, I need to get to a point where I'm not doing this anymore, and I want to be creating stuff and, you know, attending events and doing more shows and stuff like that, but I don't have the time to do all the content creation. And when I joined with Liz, she just kind of said, like, you're on every social media channel, but there's no engagement, there's no likes, there's no comments, and, you know, you're always giving advice, but you're never asking the audience their opinion on it. And I was like, you're freaking right. And, you know, she just gave me that honest feedback, and I was like, yeah, I didn't even notice that. And when I came off that day, I felt really intimidated, but very happy that I had somebody be honest with me and say, right, this is what we need to do, Neil. This is what you need to be focusing your time on. Yeah. This is where I'm going to be helping. I was like, this is what I've needed for like 2 years. So thank you. Like, hallelujah. And coming out of that call with her, I was like, right, one day somebody's going to have to do this in a sales capacity for happy selling, right? So full disclosure, and maybe a lot of VPs of sales who onboard happy selling training may not be happy with what I'm about to say. But when it comes to closing sales, that's not my favorite thing. It really isn't, you know. I love prospecting. I love the presentations. I love the build-up and getting that, you know, person into a meeting. Yeah. The actual closing of business, of negotiation, contracts, discounts, all of that stuff, it bores me. I find it very transactional. And then I get excited that once they've signed, we can start training, we can do coaching and account management. Yeah. That's the stuff that gets me buzzed. But Koen, to your point, like, I have come to the realization that one day I'm going to have to hire a salesperson to do this, and I'm going to have to hire a customer success manager to do happy selling training, because I'm going to be off building other things but still leading this company, but I'm still doing it today. But I have to fall in love with it, and I still need to know how to do it, so that one day I have to teach them how to do it as well. And part of my diary will still be, you know, training and doing stuff, but I've got other plans and aspirations that I want to do. But it's freaking scary. You know, like, is it going to happen? I don't know, but I'd like to see how long I can go, because 5 years ago, when I launched Happy Selling, I didn't know how long this was going to last. My family and friends thought 2-3 months, you're going to go back to a normal job. I said, no. A year passed, and I was like, okay, I'm still here. 2 years passed, I'm still here. We're coming up to 5 years now. And I'm like, and a lot of people say, oh, how did you do it? And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I just play it as I go along, and I close deals, I win logos, I get testimonials, I produce content, and it's the fun thing. And that's why I love startups, and I'm trying to build my own. But this is why I'm doing this show with people such as yourselves, because I'm learning from all of you, because this is going to help me. And I hope that this helps our listeners and watchers out there. So,
yeah, but just the fact that you that you told it so many people so early in the process. And it was not like, yeah, I'm doing this on the side, you know, let's see what happens. But you went full in. And yeah, it's almost like becoming like a social responsibility. Yeah. Like, and I need to make this work now because I will look like a fool. It's not exactly that black and white, but people still respond to it. Even my mother these days is still like, are you doing fine with your business? Yeah, yeah, 25 people now, X, Y, Z. She's still thinking like become a teacher or something, you know, because she as I said, my father was an accountant, so she has seen the impact of running a business, and for her it's like she is proud obviously on what's happening, but she doesn't grasp it 100% as well. So for her it's like this unsafe environment, you know. So so yeah, it never changes, I think, to be honest, Neil. But that's the fun part. That's where I take pride in, to be honest.
100%, because I think the mistake, not the mistake that I've made, but the realization in recent years is I was always going to my friends and family saying, I've got this new job as an SDR, or finally promoted to account executive, or hey, one day I'm going to be a founder of my own business. And they always look at me like I'm crazy. Like, Neil, you've got your head in the clouds. What the hell? Get a steady job, be security, get a pension and all that. And I'm like, but I can't live like that. That's just not me. And I think
it isn't the clouds though now these days.
Yeah. But, but I think in the recent years, what I found myself doing is trying to get my family's validation, you know, on these things. Mm. And sometimes I'll sit with my dad, who's an accountant, like, so how's business? How many customers do you have? And, you know, do you have like on them? Or are they on 3-week contracts? Are they on 12-month contracts? I'm like, it's ad hoc, dad. It just comes in when it comes in, and I'm doing other stuff. I'm launching a podcast. And he's like, I'm just very worried that, you know, when I go, that are you going to be okay? And my mom, she's more a case of, so where are these companies located? Oh, one's in Belgium, one's in the US. Yeah. Oh, and then she's on the phone to her friend. Yeah, so my son is working with people in the US. He doesn't know what I'm doing, right? And my sister, who's like my mentor in life, and I love my big sister a lot. She used to work for local government. I used to work for local government. I went off to tech, and she always said it's all about local government. And in the last few weeks, I can't mention the name of the company, but my sister is now going into tech and she's going into sales for a big corporate company. And she came to me and said, could you give me a little bit of advice? And I was like, yeah, I'm happy to. You're in my world, right?
The circle of life. The circle of life. Yeah.
But coming back to a very poignant point of the circle of life, like coming to you, Yannick. Mm-hmm. So we obviously met a few years ago whilst you were at Silverfin. And I remember Juan, who introduced us, and we kicked off this SDR training with Happy Selling. And you were one of my favorite students because he was always giving feedback. He was always doing the role plays. And I remember just as I was leaving our engagement with Silverfin, you had been promoted to team lead. You guys had, I think you've reached 105% of your quarterly target. And I wouldn't say that's because of Happy Selling. That's because of the team. But I was very proud to be a part of that in that time.
Happy Selling definitely helped.
Indeed.
That's for sure.
But, you know, you're somebody that was that SDR that I first met. You progressed into a team lead. What was that transition like, finally going into closing sales? What was that like for you?
How was the transition like? I feel definitely that you get a lot of the fundamentals for doing sales as an AE when you have first been an SDR. What do I mean by that? As an AE, you also have to keep prospecting. Prospecting is something that you learn when you're an SDR. As an AE, you have to build a lot of structure. As an SDR, you need to learn to structure outreach because people will not respond to you from a first touch. You have to be consistent. You need to build structure into your cadences, into your outreach. And all of those things, you know, the prospecting itself, the structure, daring to talk to people, overcoming objections even, all those things start when you're first an AE and you all bring them into your, it begins with the SDR rather, and you bring them into your AE role. That's what I wanted to say. Now, the transition itself went quite smooth, to be honest. I think that especially the later stages in the deal cycle were most challenging because I was quite comfortable talking to people already. Yes, you need to learn how to do a demo. Yes, you need to learn how to do a first presentation and maybe a discovery. You need to refresh all of that. That's true. But I think the newer stages that you need to start doing, like the negotiation, what you mentioned before, Neil, is quite important to get that really, to get strong at that quite quickly because, you know, it's part of making deals. That's why you're there as an AE. and especially the closing stages. I think that those were most challenging in my transition from SDR to AE. Yeah,
I love it. You're right. So a lot of the fundamentals that you've learned as an SDR in terms of structure, time management, exactly. Like always be prospecting, like never mm-hmm. stop prospecting, no matter mm-hmm. what role yep. you're in. And those are things that have definitely helped you onto that. And, you know, like you said, having to learn elements of, you know, negotiation, how to do a demo yep. and all those sort of things, and then bringing it all together. What did it feel like finally closing your first deal, Yannick? What went through your mind when that happened?
Not finally, it was quite quick, but Yannick can explain better. Right?
It was indeed quite quick. It was after my second month or third month, I don't quite remember.
No, I think it was sooner.
Yeah, something like that. After the second month. Yeah, how did it feel like? I was surprised, to be honest. I must also be honest, I got quite some support internally from Koen, especially at the time, which helped a lot, but it was still my first few steps in the AE world, so I could use all the help that I could get, all the mentoring that I could get, and I also got that. And that also helped getting the deal across the line. But, you know, it's always a feeling. It was like you book your first SDR or your first meeting as an SDR. You can't believe that you did it, you know? It seems like impossible. How am I going to get somebody to sit in a room together with me and discover more how we can help them? That's how we feel as an SDR when you have those phone calls to do and those mails to send. And once that somebody says for the first time, all right, I agree, I want to learn something more about how you guys can help us and this or this or that. That feeling is a little bit the same like I had when I closed the first deal as an AE. There are so many steps in a sales cycle, you know, like I said, it's not only getting somebody in the room, but also negotiating with them, trying to actually get them to a close, which can be quite tough. You know, it's legal stuff that comes in it, procurement sometimes, and so on and so on. And it feels like a mountain that you need to climb, you know?
Yeah.
But thank God I have a few Sherpas who helped me along the way and are still helping where needed. And when you have those people, you reach that top, you reach the closing of that deal. And it's quite amazing. It always seems like, well, I wouldn't say impossible, but very daunting, very tough. But already closed quite a few nice, large deals, to be honest. Every time they seem quite complex and daunting even and hard. Mm. But when you get there, the feeling is always amazing. It will never beat the feeling of the first deal that's closed, probably. Nothing's like your first time, maybe. But it's
well,
I don't know about the rest of the room. But anyway, just stupid joke. But you know, it stays. You really have a feeling of accomplishment, and that stays definitely.
Oh yeah, man! So super proud again, like from meeting you all those years ago to seeing you now actually closing your deals and doing it alongside with Cone and everything. It makes me super happy. That's a happy selling moment. In my opinion. But you're very right. It's like I can remember the first deal that I ever closed and like akinning it to, you know, booking your first meeting. And I've noticed this with a lot of SDRs, like when we've helped them book their first meeting or opportunity or when a deal closed with an AE, we have this element, I wouldn't call it shame, but, you know, like we needed help in order to do it. But it takes a team to build a village, right? Yeah. And we need to go through these motions and learn it. But I remember in my last engagement whilst I was working at Happio, some of our SDRs, or, you know, and it was me, myself, I did this as well, where, you know, we come in for a couple of months, we learn the product, we see the demos in the AEs, and we want to start doing that stuff ourselves, right? We're really poised to, like, I want to give demos, and I want to close deals, and I want to make a commission. And I took it as a learning opportunity with one of my reps that was very, you know, they really want to become an AE, and hopefully they will become soon in the coming months. But I did a team learning where I got one of my reps who booked one of their outbound deals. And it was, if anything, it was kind of outside of our ICP, right? And it was below the threshold that we would allow for somebody to go in. But we saw a huge potential for an upsell later down the line. So I kind of like okayed it and said, let's go with it, but we're going to keep an eye on it. And what I said to this rep was, let's keep an eye of how the discussions are going with the AE. Let's see how many meetings are going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. So cut a long story short, the deal finally closed and I gave the SDR a round of applause and we all celebrated as a team. But what I wanted to do with the team is actually show them how many steps and how many interactions it took to get to that point.
Oh, yeah.
So I showed from how many attempts it took this SDR, 13 attempts to book the first meeting, right? from the meeting to close over 6 or 7 weeks, there was around 42 interactions. That was emails, calls, follow-ups, negotiations, you know, before signing the deal, the negotiation, and all of that. But it was still a very low deal value. And kind of the lesson that I gave within that sharing was, look, this is how much effort it takes from sales to SDR to customer success to win this new customer.
Yeah.
But then we got a cost acquisition calculator and we put everybody's salaries into that as well. And I said, in essence, what we actually do, we burn cash trying to go for these small deals, right? I know everybody wants to close and we want to win in new business, but this is why we have an ICP. This is why we have here. Yeah. It wasn't to defeat the rep to show them, okay, this was a wasted opportunity because, you know, they did upsell. They did get more revenue out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But why it's important that we trust the process, we have these steps in place for a reason, and patience is a virtue, right? It takes some time and we have to learn all these things. But unless somebody shows you these things and how many steps and how tough it is, you won't know. So I think it's very good to expose SDRs, yes. AEs and everybody's to how tough is this shit, you know, putting it all together. It's not easy. Like I even look at my own CRM with deals that I've closed and I have to do this on my own. And I'll look at the emails, I see the cancellations and I'm like, Neil's, oh, Neil, you've closed another deal. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't know how tough that was.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes it's not all fun and glory, but kind of like.
No, this is a very interesting point. I think we can all relate with this. And that's why we also try to very clearly define our ICP. And let's be honest, in the beginning, you also want to give the AE something, you know, because he or she is very much into the process. And how we typically solve that, and we did it on a few occasions, is basically saying, like, if it's a one-year deal, no. But if you can make it a 2 or 3 year deal, we'll be doing it, you know, because it's close to the ICP. They will probably upsell indeed, etc. So that's the way that you still get the best of both worlds. I'm a big believer in really doubling down on that ICP and trying not to move too far away from it, because all the stuff you just mentioned is still pre-sales sales, but then post-sales needs to happen as well, you know, and it's much more difficult when it's not an ideal ICP customer.
100%. But again, really great insights and again, really proud, Yannick, for like what you've achieved and, you know, like working with people like Bobby now. Bobby, coming on to yourself, so you're this new SDR within the business, you're tasked on helping generate pipe and generate meetings and working alongside Yannick, and you guys have quite a good working relationship from what I've heard and seen. Like, what advice would you give to SDRs? Is the best way to work with your AE? And like, how do you guys have a great dynamic together?
Yeah. Maybe I think I can answer the second part of the question a lot quicker, to be fair. I think the thing about working with Yannick, you know, and that's something that others will confirm, I'm sure, that have worked with him, is very open to kind of, you know, going out of his way to help you and, you know, working outside of working hours or sometimes on his holiday, you know, is something that he doesn't recommend people to do. He always says, hey, look, you know, don't work on your days off or, you know, switch off from work completely. But he himself doesn't always follow that advice. Because of like, you know, how much he really wants to put his, you know, heart and soul into his work and wants to do his best. And yeah, that's definitely something I've seen him throughout our relationship, you know, as our professional relationship. And yeah, going back to the first part, is definitely just like, you know, any other relationship in your life is like dependent on the person. But I think something that's kind of a universal advice for you know, any SDR starting out there is, you know, you've probably got your LinkedIn profile set up already. You probably have a few connections going. Definitely follow the people out there who are, you know, in the field and doing it day in and day out, because there is so much great advice. There is so much great content of people talking about this specific topic, you know. So, be exposed, and that's something that I personally, you know, normally I like to kind of scroll around Facebook and, you know, watch these funny videos and stuff. Since you know, working in SaaS, it's pretty much taken over LinkedIn, and, you know, I just kind of go on LinkedIn for fun, or if I'm, you know, having a beer with my friend in a coffee shop and they take a quick phone call, I'll just open up my LinkedIn, see if anyone's accepted my connection request.
I'm there, dude.
That's great.
You know, there's so much great advice there. So take advantage of it. And yeah, if you have a goal or you're working towards something, there's the chances are there's many other people who are also on that same path. So yeah, go out there and consume and follow people who are in a position where you want to be. You know, that's number one.
I love that. So 100% like gravitating towards like thought leaders, checking out LinkedIn, consuming that content, replacing it with the content that we maybe like on Insta, TikTok. I admit I've just gotten to that as well, begrudgingly, but it's working out quite well. But like replacing it with things that you're going to learn from as well. But yeah, also with yourself, Bobby, like I remember a couple of months back or weeks ago, like you put up a post where you're learning stuff and you're, you know, mentioning people that you're going to follow and you're reading their content. For a lot of SDRs out there, there's a shed load of a lot of content, right? And some of it can sometimes be very overwhelming. I know that sometimes I get overloaded with the amount of scrolling that I'm doing. So I have to switch off at points or start unfollowing certain things because it'll get too much. What advice would you give to that new SDR where somebody says, go check out LinkedIn, go check these podcasts, go check out this, go check out that? How do you consume it in a healthy way?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because what I found out from, you know, it's a good thing that we have so much great content, but also I could probably find content saying, you know, from experts and, you know, people that are experienced in the field, content saying, you know, one part of an advice and then someone totally disagreeing with that person on the same topic, you know, so literally both sides of the same coin. So I used to be quite big into fitness back in my youth days. And again, there would be so many people who are kind of on the internet telling you how to get a six pack. You know, you might remember this Mike Chang on YouTube. He was huge at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he was big, but his advice was kind of questionable. So you know, the same thing I did back then is something I've kind of taken on board as well with the SDR content, is you have to be your own filter for stuff, you know, and sometimes it will be about trusting your gut instinct. Sometimes it will be about, you know, taking this point and really trying to dive into it further and like kind of not taking one opinion as a fact. But, you know, if you are interested in a particular question or in a particular topic, or, you know, you've learned this new thing that kind of sounds interesting to you, gathering a lot more input on the same topic kind of gives you a nice balance. You know, if a lot of people in the industry are saying that, you know, a lot of successful people that you have a good feeling about are saying the same thing, chances are there's at least some truth to it, you know? So, having a nice body of experience and content and exposure is a great way to kind of, you know, cut through the noise and realize, you know, this is the content which I should be consuming, or this is what I should be taking advice from.
Hell to the yeah, dude. And that's some solid advice again for anybody that's listening in on how to consume that content, seeing what people are saying, how to, you know, manage that as well. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Bobby, like taking a gut feeling on, you know, the only way that you're going to figure this stuff out is actually trying it and see what works. And then equally sharing that content, because again, I look forward to your posts when I see them on there, because I'm constantly learning from my network as well, right? And you know, the other thing that I was thinking was what kind of reminded me of, like, when you're saying when you're at your mates or you're out for a coffee and you're checking out your LinkedIn, it kind of takes me back to like my days of being an SDR, where, you know, I would catch up with mates at the pub or on a social setting. And I'd say to mates, oh, so what'd you get up to this weekend? Oh, well, you know, I did this at work. I closed a deal. Some of my friends were in sales. Or, you know, I went out to this trip, or I went to a festival and da 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 da. I said, what did you do? And I was like, oh, I went out to California and I was chatting to my CEO. And like, he was telling me about how, like, he built a company and all of this. And they'd look at me like, but they wouldn't know how to relate or speak back to that, because they're not used to, they weren't exposed to that, you know? And then the other thing that sometimes I used to go out with my friends and they're catching up about what they got up to in the weekend. I said, yeah, do you know what? I spoke to like five different CEOs this week. I spoke to a CTO, spoke to this person. I spoke to a company that launched a company. And they look at me really alien. Why? It's just like, for me, that's freaking exciting. I'm chatting to people that are building companies and changing the world. And for them, like, what makes them happy is, you know, it's relevant, relative to like what they're doing with their life as well. But for you, now as this SDR, being able to work alongside a CEO and get time with the CEO, what's that kind of like for you as an SDR?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. And like one of the reasons I wanted to get into SaaS anyway was just to kind of have this environment of people who are more successful. Like, you know, you get a different environment coming from construction, let's be honest. Like a huge, huge difference. But even on my interview, I think my very first interview was supposed to be with Yannick, but he couldn't make it for some reason. So I had Kuhn on the phone, like on the Zoom call straight there. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? You know, I told him straight away. I was like, I didn't expect to be, you know, interviewing with the CEO already. And yeah, it's been great because like, hopefully like you guys can tell, Kuhn is a pretty like down to earth guy. You know, it's super cool to talk to, but it knows a lot. Like, you can see why he's in the position why he is, you know. And it's been a really cool experience. I can't lie. Everyone in Bassify, people are just like, yeah, I'm new there, and most people know way more than I do, and they have way more experience than I do. And that's been, you know, amazing to be able to ask those questions, which, you know, people might have been dealing with years back in their career. And that, you know, there's so much knowledge there, so much hard work put in, and yeah, being able to interact with people like that is just it's amazing, you know. Same goes for SaaS leads, to be fair. I made like probably a few like lasting connections, but the connections I have made, they've been awesome. And like these are just people that I feel like I could hit up in 6 months without having spoken, and you know, it would just be like it was yesterday, you know. So that's super
100%.
Cool.
I think maybe the best anecdote, if you don't mind me telling it, Bobby, is when we invited Bobby over to Belgium to hang out. We also did the team building in beautiful Durbuy. And I didn't have shorts to swim. And then Bobby was so kind to borrow me his his shorts on the spot. Just putting it out, I put it on, and you know, that creates a connection, man. I can just tell you that. So
if that doesn't make a connection, nothing will.
So yeah.
And as you said, Kurt, this is family, right? This is
yes. Family. Yeah, you share shorts.
I fucking love that. Yes. But kind of coming like to one of the last questions, I'd like to revert back to you, Kurt, like on this family bit here. So like Bobby is an SDR and he may be charged with reaching out to C-level people or CEOs such as yourself, right? And for SDRs, this can be very intimidating, but I'm really glad and hope this show has shown that, you know, Bobby is working with a CEO. CEOs can be cool. They can be very down to earth and they can be very helpful. Mm-hmm. And Kuhn, they may be reaching out to you. Like, what advice would you give out to SDRs that are reaching out to C-level people to lessen that anxiety and, you know, come across more gentle? What advice would you give them?
The first one, I think, is extremely technical, but it's just having extremely clear audio, for example, when it's a phone call, so that you know what's happening. And because you call people that are doing something else, so it needs to be extremely clear. If you have trouble understanding someone, it's already a very, very difficult start, I would say. Related to that is being extremely clear in the beginning, you know, like... I don't like personally that people try, hey, where are you? And I'm doing fine. And where are you? Most of the time, you don't have time for that. So just come in with like a small pitch, like, hey, do you also have the feeling in our case then that advertising costs are rising and results are going down? Wait, you know, see what happens, because then it's immediately clear, okay, this guy is from that company. That's probably something that they're working on and they are already thinking about. Yeah. I can transfer him to his or her within my team, or I can take the call directly. And then basically getting me to speak, and you know, I like to speak as soon as possible. Most of the people out there like to hear themselves as well, let's be honest about that. So yeah, I don't zone out, you know. Yeah. So not make it a one-man show, just get the other person talking, and then you're already off to a good start. That's really, when I look at the SDR calls I receive, I will be extremely polite when this is followed, you know. And if it's I did buy from 100% called SDR calls, I did buy from them, but when I can't hear them, etc., sometimes it's hard to take two more minutes to try to say like, I cannot hear you, etc., and I will just respond, but sorry, but the connection is really bad, or I'm not getting what you're hinting at, have a good day. And yeah, those are situations you should avoid and can easily avoid with those few steps, I think. And in general, I think it's put in a bucket now, right? Like an SDR, but the work of an SDR never starts, or even if you evolve during the other stages in SaaS, a lot of us are still SDRs. Even in the customer success team, you know, a lot of the best leads that we get actually come in through customer success, you know, because they know them well. Yeah. They know also when they reach out to them, they will give more non-commercial advice. So for us, it's really like a lead generator, even like, hey, can we have a chat about this? Don't involve the salespeople just of yet. We're just trying to explore stuff. So everyone's in sales, you know. Yeah. If you're trying to find a man, if you're trying to find a wife for the future, if you're trying to get into a specific school, if you're trying to hustle to get a better discount on your clothing, whatever, everyone's
swimming
in sales,
shorts. If you're looking for those dream swimming shorts as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I still have to return that, I think, by the way, but we'll pick up on that after this discussion. But yeah, those would be my key remarks, to be honest.
I love that. Thank you so much. So, you know, like having a clear call, being direct in your approach. Like sometimes it's nice to be nice, but sometimes you don't need so many niceties, but get straight down to business as to where you are. So help you either delegate as to where that conversation is going to go, and giving yourself the opportunity to speak and to be heard. You know, in sales, there are two ears and one mouth. When one is speaking, the other is listening, right? So advice for listeners out there, and obviously Bobby, like you've got your CEO there. So any advice that you can ask him, and I'd equally say to you, Bobby, leverage your CEO. Like what I used to do the training with Yannick is, you know, if you're writing an email and you're not getting a response, say, Cone, I'm going to ghost draft the email, but can you send it? Because you've got weight as a CEO of this business to the other CEO. Use each other, like, you know, together trying to get into an account. But that's some solid advice. And I think our listeners and watchers like that. And again, if you're listening and watching this, like put in your comments and what's your thoughts and feedback as to how could we approach C-level people? What tips would we give to our SDRs as well? Coming to yourself, Yannick, like if you were talking to a younger version of yourself who's just about to embark on this journey of becoming, you know, SDR going into the A, what one bit of advice would you give to that, Yannick?
One bit. There are actually more bits of advice that I would give, to be honest. Let me bring it down to two, because I think they're both very important. I will start off with one. And that is also something that I told Bram, which you also know from
Lead Camp.
From Lead Camp, indeed. Yeah. And what I told him was the fact that you need to put yourself on the radar. And I keep saying that. If you're a good performing SDR, and you put in the work and you get the results, put yourself on the radar with the people that have power to help you, you know, getting you up in the company. A lot of people sometimes feel like, yeah, I'm doing my best and, you know, I'm doing some great things, but it's not being recognized. But there's so many things that leadership and management need to take into account that sometimes they see that you're hungry and that you're getting results in. Sometimes it's not always that clear that you also want to move up, because some people are perfectly happy being an SDR and want to stay in SDR. It's not always easy to, you know, have a feel about where somebody sees his or her career heading towards. So if you want to rise up, put yourself on the radar of the people that can help you. That's the first one.
Yep.
And the second one is stay as close as SDR to your AE. If you yourself as SDR want to become an AE, stay as close to your current AE as SDR as possible. Try to follow the emails that are being sent. Try to follow his or her process. Try to start to understand how a deal cycle works, because that will also give you an understanding first. Is this really the way that I want to go? Do I want to be an AE, just like you said yourself, Neil? For you, it was a no after some time.
Yep.
There will most definitely also be other people who have the same feeling about some time, but you can already make sure that this doesn't happen, or, you know, lower the chance of this happening. When you understand what it is to be an AE, ask advice to an AE, stay close to the AE, ask how a discovery went, ask how they got that difficult deal over the line. Just absorb all of that information, because it will not only give you a perspective on how it is to be an AE and how you can best become an AE, it will also better your relationship with the AE. So you're making each other successful. So those two things, I think, are really important.
Two silver bullets of solid advice. Thank you very much for that, Yannick. And coming last but not least to Bobby, like if you were speaking to the Bobby who was working in Vodafone a couple of years back, who's thinking about going into tech sales, maybe a little bit thinking, you know, this whole gig could be a scam, like not knowing where this is going to go. Like what advice would you give to that younger version of Bobby?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit technical and it might sound trivial, but to be fair, I've had probably like for most of my life, I've had a bit of trouble sleeping or like falling asleep. Sometimes it takes me like 2 hours. And I think a reason I take some time to fall asleep is because I'm kind of like trying to go back on my day, reflecting, sometimes going back, you know, from last week, what happened, and like, you know, trying to come at peace with myself and calm myself down so I could finally fall asleep. Recently, I've heard this advice like a few times, but recently I heard it and I really took it on board, was before you go to bed or an hour, you know, before you go to bed, take some time to reflect on your day consciously and do that consistently. And that was kind of a moment where my mind clicked and I was like, maybe that's why, you know, that's really going to help me fall asleep quicker and, you know, allow me to get more rest and be more productive for the next day. Because if I don't have to like kind of go to bed and then start this thinking, reflecting process, I've already done that. And that could be a really cool, you know, game changer. And I think it's worked, but there is, you know, so much more potential there. If you just keep doing it, you get a lot better and a lot quicker. And yeah, it seemed like a trivial thing, but I think it could really have a big impact.
No.
Also, writing things down is something that really works for me.
Yeah.
There's one way that I can clear my head, and that's simply by clearing my head, by writing it down. So I know that it's saved somewhere, to call it like that.
Right. And then,
right. You know, I don't have to keep thinking about it. That's something that also helps for me. But yeah.
100%. And it's not trivial by any stretch, Bobby. Like, I think,
Like
whatever, if you're a CEO, an AE, or an SDR, like self-awareness is one of the biggest powers that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And reflecting at the end of the day of, you know, what's achieved, what's worked, what's not. And, you know, to Yannick's point, like I journal daily. So I wake up in the morning, I've got a gratitude journal where I write three things I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. I write a positive affirmation. And then I also say, how am I going to make this day successful? And I only spend 3 minutes doing that, right? And then I do a meditation. And then when it comes into the evening, I do the meditation. And then I go back to the gratitude journal and I write three great things that have happened that day. But also, what's the one thing that I can improve upon? So it's either I'm scrolling too much on LinkedIn, or I've been watching too much TV, or I got too emotionally attached to something that happened in my work day against my business. Or, you know, I just didn't make enough time for my friends or family and have a chat with them. Those are things that I can improve upon. But to Yannick's point, and this is something we did in the Happy Selling training, where you take something internally, you then put the power of it into your arm, and then you write it down. Mm-hmm. You have a better chance of remembering that when you write notes down as well. But what it does is it mentally takes it out of your brain, puts it onto a bit of paper so that you can go back to bed and do it. But to your point, consciously, and I love this, consciously and consistently, if you do that every day, the world is your oyster, and you will be, you know, rested, because rest is the biggest exercise that you can ever do, and that gives you longevity. So it's not trivial at anything, dude. I think that's some solid advice. But as we've come to the end of the show, this has been an amazing show, gents, and I really appreciate all of you. But equally, I appreciate all the listeners, watchers, and subscribers for our show today. Remember, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a like, subscribe, and comment. And you can send voice notes in the show notes on the podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe, and share so that we can get this story to more sales professionals out there as well. But equally, with Cone, with Yannick and Bobby, if you'd like to connect with them, their LinkedIn profiles will be in the show notes and in the YouTube description. Feel free to connect. And also check out ambassify.com. I will be putting a link to their website if you want to learn more about employee advocacy and how their solution could potentially help you as well. But Cone, Yannick and Bobby, thank you so much for being guests on our show. And most importantly, happy selling to all you three.
My pleasure. Happy
Thanks,
selling.
Man. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our show today. If you work in tech sales and have a career or story that you'd love to share, then please email us at podcast@happyselling.io and we'll be in contact to book in a show.